the Lord one night, and he wiped out like 180,000 soldiers in one night of the army, and then Sennacherib went his way. Okay, because Hezekiah was loyal to God. Another benefit of being loyal to God is that we don't get scared. We don't get scared. If I put my trust in God, God will grant me victory. God will grant me peace. God will grant me success. God will grant me to be fearless. Doesn't mean I'm going to be fearless all the time, but he can take away my fear. Okay, Hezekiah got scared. But he trusted God. He did something practical. He went to Isaiah. He asked for his prayers. He took Sennacherib's letter that he received and he put it on the altar. He prayed and he asked for guidance. He still felt what he felt what we feel, but he had trust in God. He trusted, he relied that God would get him through. He's a practical example of loyalty to God. Hezekiah. Another thing that Hezekiah did, he was about to die. He was sick. And then he prayed to God and he said something to God. He said to him, because I have been, have a guess, because I have been loyal to you, please let me live a little bit longer. God's answer was yes. And it was really nice how God answered. Isaiah came to him and he told him, this sickness is going to, you're going to die as a result of this sickness. And then Isaiah didn't even leave Hezekiah's house. And God said to him, go back and tell Hezekiah, I've heard his prayer. Because he was loyal to me, he will not die. Because he was loyal. It's very strange. God makes a big deal about this. A big deal. There's only one character in the Bible, in the Old Testament, to whom God added years of life. And that's Hezekiah. He got 15 years. He could live longer for 15 years. And the only reason why is not because he prayed, but because he was loyal to God. Because he was loyal. There's only one king in all the history of the kings after David that it was said about him, no one was like him before and no one was like him after, because he was loyal to God. Because he was loyal. He trusted in God. He put his reliance in God and not in anybody else. If you read all the kings of Israel, all the different kings, what they did was, the bad ones were bad. The kings of Judah and Israel were bad. But talk about the kings of Judah. The ones that were good, you'll find this description, right? They did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Yeah, in the sight of the Lord. It's very important, that part about seeing. They did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But they didn't do one thing. Anyone remember what was the one thing that the kings of Judah did not do, the good ones?
They didn't get rid of all the pagan gods or places of worship.
Yeah, so you know how there was idol worship, right? There were other places called high places. High places were in the days of Solomon as well. A high place could become a place of idol worship, but sometimes it was a place for worshipping God. But God taught the children of Israel only in Jerusalem. So these kings left the high places. They got rid of the idols, but they left a little tiny potential place for idol worship. Potential. You know when God appeared to Solomon the first time, when Solomon asked for wisdom, Solomon didn't pray in the temple. The temple wasn't around. He prayed at a high place. It was a place of potential idol worship, because people, the reason why God said only the temple is because the Gentiles used to just sacrifice wherever. And he didn't want his people sacrificing to whoever, like any god. He wanted them to be monitored by the priests. You only sacrifice in one place to make sure they only sacrifice to one god. So if I am truly loyal to God, and none of those kings, by the way, none of those kings, it was said about them, they were loyal to God. It just said that they did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And sometimes I'm like that. God can say that about me. With all my weaknesses, with all my sins, so-and-so did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But they did not destroy the potential places of idol worship. So it's like toying with the possibility of sinning. It's like that. Okay, the possible places of idol worship. So for example, say I am staying away from sinning. I am staying away from a bad relationship. But, let's say a bad relationship, but the person's number is on my phone. But I'm not talking to them. Okay, that's a high place. I'm avoiding all possibility of doing something wrong. Okay, I'm watching my purity. Okay, I am not looking at bad stuff. I am avoiding, I'm keeping myself busy, all this sort of stuff. But I could be taking a different way, like when I'm walking, from here to there, I could be taking a different way. I could be reducing the possibility of temptation. I'm leaving a high place. Or I am trying to keep my purity and I'm struggling, but I am like rude to my parents. Okay, Abuna Tadrus Maliki says there's a very interesting correlation between being violent towards my parents, like he means by disobedience, being violent towards my parents, or being like having a disposition of disobedience or being angry and falling into temptations of lust. That's a high place, because the one can lead to the other. Or I am avoiding everything bad. I'm very, very good. I'm keeping steering clear and having regular confession, all that sort of stuff. But in my heart, I'm not forgiving someone. I'm holding on. That's a high place. Okay? As long as pride is inside me, then I miss out on the grace of God. I miss out on God helping me. So the high places are what make us loyal to God. If we destroy the high places in our life, any potential for sin, any possibility. I remember once Abuna was giving us an example of, like a youth who was so like careful in terms of purity that it wouldn't matter, if they have to look down the whole time, that's what they do. If they don't even look at the mail, just so that they're not even like tempted to think a bad thought. Okay? It's just making sure that any possibility of sin, I destroy. Any possibility of sin, I destroy. Okay, and that's why Hezekiah was loyal to God. Hezekiah was loyal because God looked and said, all the possibilities of sin, Hezekiah destroyed, along with all the obvious sins. Okay, so we have to be careful, because the devil is very, very clever. Laziness is a high place. Laziness is a high place. There's nothing wrong with relaxing, is there? Is there anything wrong with relaxing? No. After a hard day? Is there? Nothing's wrong, but it's a high place. It can lead to sin. It can lead to idleness. It can lead to being fought with bad thoughts. It's a high place. It needs to be destroyed. Okay, what's the reason? There's no reason that we should be lazy. The same thing. It can eat up Bible reading. It can eat up prayer time. It's another high place. Okay, if laziness is not destroyed, then what will happen is eventually idol worship will creep in. So to have a heart that's loyal to God, very, very simple, to imitate Hezekiah. Yes, sin, it stares us in the face and we go and we have confession. But what about what can cause us to sin? What might cause me to sin? What might cause me? Sometimes we don't have a wide heart, or our hearts are getting wider gradually. But I know that if I hang around such and such a person, I'm likely to get angry. I'm likely to say something that's not very nice. So what do I do? What might be a logical thing to do to avoid the possibility of sin? Any ideas? You're likely to get angry. You're likely to lose it at this person. Just avoid. For the meantime, until you get a bit stronger, avoid. What about if I'm not very regular in my confession? If I'm not very regular in my confession, how can I avoid the possibility of delaying confession? How can I avoid that?
Make an appointment with the Lord.
Make an appointment. Make an appointment. And hold the Buddha, like, ask him to hold you accountable to that. Okay? All these possibilities. To be loyal to God means 100% I am vigilant to get rid, to destroy all the possibilities of falling into sin with all my heart. With all my heart. What about, this is a very, very simple one. Very, very simple. What about if I'm really trying to, like, preserve my purity, if I'm really, really trying, what do I do with things like the internet? What do I do with my phone? What do I do with my laptop? What do I do with all that sort of stuff? What do I do? There's so many things that we can do. Having a high place is any risky behavior. Like, very, very common that students, you know how there's filters and all that sort of stuff? Yeah? Some people are so strict, like they want to utterly destroy the high place, that they say, I don't need to even, don't even need the internet, like on my person. I don't need it. So I have a phone, I don't need the internet on the phone. Don't need it. At home, I don't need to be on it at all. If I'm going to do something, I'll do it. You know, I'll make sure I'll be in an open place or whatever. Okay, I'll be with other people, whatever. Doesn't matter. Watching movies, is there anything wrong with watching movies? We all know the answers to this, right? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with watching movies. Okay, am I right? Wrong? Yeah, there's nothing wrong. What if the rating on the movie is okay? What if the rating is okay? But the content, you can have a good guess that the content isn't necessarily going to leave you with the best of thoughts. Watch it. There's nothing bad. There's nothing bad. Okay, you're not technically going to see anything bad. But you might hear something bad. Okay, it's a high place. It's a high place. The harder you try to destroy the high places, the more fierce you'll be fought from Satan straight away. Do you know that there's no king of Israel in the history of all the kings of Israel that was fought like Hezekiah? No king of Israel. All the other kings of Israel that the armies of the Syrians and the Assyrians came against, defeated them. Defeated them. But when Hezekiah returned to the Lord, if you read Chronicles, there's a really, really, really eye-opening verse. Hezekiah returns to the Lord, and he returns all the people with him, and then the first verse of the next chapter says, so Sennacherib came against him. What does that so mean? What's God trying to say with so?
As a consequence.
So I return to God, and I'm very diligent to destroy all the possibilities of sin, so the devil will come to scare me. It doesn't happen with any other king. Only with loyal kings. And we're all kings. We're all kings over our passions. We're all supposed to reign over our passions. So if that's all we take from Hezekiah, that's a huge, huge lesson. Okay? The eyes of the Lord. Remember in 2nd, if you weren't here at the start, we just looked at a verse from 2nd Chronicles. 2nd Chronicles 16:9. Okay? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro, looking for those whose hearts are loyal to him to show himself strong on their behalf. Strong on their behalf. And the same applies. It's a nice... Do you know what one of the things Sennacherib says? And we'll finish with this. One of the things that Sennacherib says to Hezekiah, he says to him through his messengers, how is it that you have this confidence? Because Hezekiah had an army this tiny. Sennacherib ruled the world. We'll put it into perspective, right? The king of Judah was king over an area this small. The king of Judah didn't even have 2,000 chariots and horsemen. He had nothing, no resources to fight. Sennacherib made fun of him. He goes, hey, how about I give you 2,000 horses, right? And you find people to put on the horses. He made fun of him. He ridiculed him. He doesn't have an army. And then he goes, why are you so confident? And we see that in our life. And we see that in lots of stories of people around us whose hearts are loyal to God. The odds are stacked against them. Stacked against them anywhere. At uni, at work, in their spiritual life. Stacked against them. There's no way they're going to get through this. But they have a confidence that seems foolish. Like they seem like, what are you so confident about? And people sometimes would say that to us. Like, you should be scared. You should be really scared. This, you're in big trouble. Okay, but they have an amazing confidence. And this confidence comes from being loyal to God. Hezekiah could say to God, and he did when he was on his sickbed, I was so loyal to you that I didn't just destroy the bad places. Like, I didn't destroy the idol worship. I didn't just repent of my sins that were in my life. I took the next step and I destroyed all possibilities of falling into sin. I was so strict on myself. That's having a heart that's loyal to God. Being so strict on myself that if there is a possibility that anything would lead me into sin, I will destroy it. Absolutely. Okay, you know when it says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force? Okay, they're the violent people that are serious. And we have, all that Hezekiah had is on offer to us, a confidence against all odds, peace. God will take away our fear when we fear. He will give us victory. And he will give us security. All the benefits that Hezekiah had because his heart was loyal. And the verse in 2 Chronicles says God looks for that. God's eyes are running to and fro, looking for those whose hearts are loyal to him. Not many people have hearts that are loyal to God. He's looking. You know, when God is searching, he's looking. It's not that I don't do the wrong thing. It's that I passionately destroy anything that might lead me into the wrong thing. A relationship, laziness, any way of getting there. Okay? So may God give us to be loyal like Hezekiah. And we've got heaps of examples around us in our church. Heaps of examples of people that have been loyal to God. And they tell us experiences that they've been through. And we know, like, you know, when there's a period in your life when you know that you've been loyal to God, truly loyal to God, not staying away from bad stuff, but truly loyal to God, God does miracles. And that's what this verse means. And Abuni Ya'ub says, this is when God does miracles in our life especially. This is especially when he does miracles in our life, when we are loyal to him. So maybe that's why God waits a little bit when he intervenes in our life. He gives us that opportunity to truly be loyal to him. And glory be to God forever.
Does anyone have any questions?
So what suggestions do you have in protecting ourselves from sacred evil or the devil? How do we defend ourselves against things like that? Like, are there methods, like, for instance, do we listen to masses constantly, or are there activities that we can do that, like, would seem silly to others but would strengthen our faith or make us strong against the devil, so that when the devil does surprise attack us, we're ready? I guess
everyone heard the question, right? Okay. I'm sure everyone here knows the answer.
Give me the answer.
Okay, come on, let's hear the answer.
Yeah.
The answer's you.
What?
Did you hear the question? You're
Wasn't your question, should we listen to masses every day and stuff?
No. What are some practical things? Wow.
What's a practical one?
What are some practical things that we can do to protect ourselves from the devil when he surprise attacks us? Like, things that to keep me pure, number one, and then the second thing, to build on that, to make sure that when I'm attacked, I still have confidence in God. How can I do that? Listen to masses was an answer I gave you,
cliche.
Huh?
A cliche.
Sorry?
Like a cliche? Like listen to masses?
No, I'm just the word.
I think laziness is a main factor. I think I've heard this, like, monks, they always have to keep working. If they're not praying, they're doing some hard labor or something else. So I think the idea of sitting in front of the laptop or sitting, doing nothing, just being idle, eventually you get these thoughts. And if you not praying or if you're not doing anything productive, eventually it leads to more satanic attacks. So I guess be useful, do a service, pray. Any of the other cliche answers work fine as well. So
I love you. I love Kate's cute.
But yeah, laziness. It's terrible.
My voice is like when you wake up, when the alarm goes off, get out of bed straight away. So you don't fall into laziness. I think that's the wrong with that.
Yeah. And pray for that first 5 minutes, eh? Yeah, that's all. Okay, I think we killed it.
Do you remember what Hezekiah did? Do you remember the things that he did? He prayed and he asked Isaiah to pray for him. And he went into the temple and he took the words of Sennacherib and he put it on the altar. Okay, that's our formula today. It's still the same. We pray, we have confession, because Isaiah is like one heck of a confession father. Okay, pray, you have confession, you enter into the church life, you go to the altar, you have communion. And we don't just put our fears on the altar, we put it on the body and blood with all our sins, with all the attacks of the devil. Okay, it's tried and tested formula. Prayer, confession, and going into the church, communion, and of course Bible reading, because Isaiah told him, what Isaiah told him is in the Bible. Like he told him a prophecy from the book of Isaiah, and it's published in the book of Chronicles and the book of Kings. Yeah, we all know this, right? But it's actually practically doing it. That alongside with getting rid of the high places. It's not good enough. It's not, our hearts are not loyal to God. If we pray, read the Bible, have confession, have communion, serve, that doesn't make our hearts loyal to God. That's one side of a coin. Staying away from sin and all of that doesn't make my heart loyal to God. That, staying away from sin and actively eliminating any possibility for falling into sin, that makes my heart loyal to God. All of that together. That, because very often, like, we work on one, or we work on two, but if one of them's not done, we'll be compromised.
I have a question. With regards to actively, like, sometimes, like, all right, let's say Fast and Furious, whatever comes out, we're all going to go watch it. And you know, like, there's going to be girls in bikinis, and there's going to be swearing. But like, when that stuff happens, you know, you pull out your phone, you know, check Facebook or something. Like, you're not actively looking at it, you're actively looking away. Or if you hear a swear word, like, we hear it all the time, like, people cut you off, whatever, you hear it, but like, it doesn't really affect you. Is that sort of, like, is that still actively staying, it's no longer staying away, but...
The swear word's not your fault, if it's out of your control.
But I know it's going to be there. But I know it's going to be there, I know
in Fast and Furious, yeah, Fast and Furious is different.
Fast and Furious, I just put that out there. Swear.
It's different in Fast and Furious. If you know you're going to say something,
you know, but you're happy just to tune out for that.
Yeah.
But
remember, there's nothing wrong with a high place at all. A high place is just a high place, right? And most of the time on the high place, they worship God. But some people worship idols on high places. Okay? How serious am I about protecting my purity? That would decide. If I'm look, if you've been hurt, right, you'll stay away from whatever hurts you. A movie where I'm going to see stuff and I might think about it later, don't watch the movie. Who cares? You know, going to the beach, is there anything wrong with going to the beach? Like, let's be honest. Is there? Okay, what if I've been going to Abuna and I've been saying to him, I'm struggling with this, okay? And then it's summertime. Should I, at this point in my life, should I go to the beach?
No.
Knowing that I may very well see something that's not going to help my cause. Should I?
No.
There's nothing wrong with going to the beach. Nothing wrong. But I shouldn't. I shouldn't. It's a possibility.
Can I give you an example? I have a friend who's struggling with that sin, that particular sin, and he now doesn't read news.com because 9 out of 10 of the stories push him down the path of reading about underage sex or
Kim Kardashian
or even Ashley Martin, you know, the affair. Like I was actually reading it, and I'm going, can I imagine this guy reading that would actually drag him down because it's a high place for him. So, so even the news, which you think is completely innocent, can take you down that path. So that's the high place, right? For and that high place is what you define as the high place. So you think, well, what am I struggling with? What is the sin? Where can I be taken by the devil? Where can I be taken? So that's the place where I can be taken. That's the battleground. So as opposed to getting the fight, eliminate this place. Don't go there. That's what Henry said. You know, there's another guy that I know very well. And I watched TV with him many times. Many times. I swear to you, and I know people who will tell you who always watch TV with him as well. The second that there's something that could even be remotely, he does this. He literally looks away from the television. I'm ashamed sitting in the same room. I'm literally ashamed. Because I'm going, and it's nothing, like it's nothing. And I'm thinking, weirdo, but it's not. The person is battling that. He's fighting it because he's not giving himself any opportunity to go down that path. I don't want to read news.com anymore. Or watch TV. But I will.
So the verse, you know, that God's eyes go to and forth, to and fro throughout the earth to find someone to show, like, that's loyal to him, to show him like his power to them. Such a strong verse, but I feel like, you know, I know we can read the Bible and all those things, but like, what's the first step in attaining that? Like, is it just being like consistent with the little things, like being faithful in all the little things that will eventually lead up to that? Because what you're saying, like, sounds so hard to achieve. Like, first you have to do all the regulars, and then once you do them, then you have to withstand sin, and then once you do that, you have to block out. Well, it sounds like saint level. Like, it doesn't sound like an average. First, you can just be like, all right, I'm gonna, you know, be loyal to that definition.
You're seeing them as things that you attain, like rank in the army, right? It's not what it is. I'm not attaining this as rank in the army. I actually fall in love with the person, with the God that wants me to be like that. That's how I feel. When you fall in love with God, or you fall in love with Christ, and you realize what you've done, He's done for you, those things then become easy to fight. Not easy to fight, easy to identify that you need to fight them. Right? It's still hard to fight, because you're still human. But if you're just collecting battles to win, all you're doing is winning a battle. You're not, you know what I mean? Like, you're becoming a better person, but for what purpose? For God? No, for you. The idea of becoming a better person is not for you, it's for God. Because you love God. Right? If you become a better person for you, then you're Bill Gates. Bill Gates gives away lots and lots of money, but he doesn't believe in God.
So what's the first step to...
falling in love with God.
Oh,
that's my, I don't know, Hanny, please answer it in any other way.
That's the best answer.
Please answer it.
Answer
it.
Yeah,
and, you know, that's a really hard thing to attain. Like, you know, we think falling in love is like finding a woman and marrying her and falling in love. It's different. It's different to that. It's a higher love. It's like, you know, lately someone put me onto The Fraction of the Sun. I can't stop listening to this thing, right? The Fraction of the Sun is very clearly how Christ loved us to come from His glory and then become one of us and then die for me because of something I did. I can't even, you know, I asked someone the other day, would you die for this person? And they said, no. Christ would die for anyone. He died for everyone. How can I even fathom that? Like, it's enormous. So, you know, there's the thing is, when you hear something that affects you, listen to it over and over again to try and understand it. And then, especially when it's to do with Christ and the sacrifice that He's done. And then when you fall in love with that, then you start fighting all those other things. You go, oh, look, I don't need that anymore. I don't want the TV. I don't need to look at the TV ad about Ashley Martin or whatever. Matt Ashley Madison. Have you seen that ad? It's like having an affair because life's too short. It's like, what the hell?
On TV.
It's a website.
Yeah. I thought
Ashley
Martin
is
the
hit
people.
If
you
listen to
this is Ashley Madison. And it's like only married people who sign up to have an affair.
It's got 37 million members.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's just signed at the airport as well.
Yeah, you know, the reason why I'm talking about it is the day before yesterday, it got hacked.
Yeah.
It got hacked, the site got hacked.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people are walking around scared out of their wits that their relationships outside of their marriage is going to be exposed because the person who hacked it is going to expose it all. Now, you put yourself in that position. Anyway, and that's just the strain. We sit here worrying about homosexuality. I mean, people are having affairs by just signing up for a website. You know, it's ridiculous. I don't know how we got to that. Sorry, Ange.
Yeah.
That's a very hard place. Does that make sense?
Is it wrong to assume that all of us pray?
Yeah.
Yeah? And read our Bibles? Do we all read our Bibles? I'm not saying every day, I'm just saying read our Bibles.
Know your Bible, yeah.
Yeah?
Like, know it.
Read the title.
Do understand
we,
it.
Yeah? Do we read our Bibles? Yes, no?
Yes.
Yeah, like
yeah.
Could be once a week. I'm not saying every day. I'm saying, are we reading our Bibles? Do we read our Bibles? Do we pray? Do we have confession? Do we have communion? Yeah?
Yeah.
Are we struggling against sins? Yeah, so we're all doing this. Yeah, we're all doing it. But sometimes what we're not doing is that destroying the possibility, destroying the high places. So we're all doing, you're doing it all already. We're all doing it all. But just that last bit there. And if you read the book of the Kings, what happens is even the good kings, the ones that are not like Hezekiah, when they left the high places, when they died and their children reigned, if they weren't like them, what would they do? Go back to idol worship, and where would they start? The high places. Okay, so sometimes that it annoys us in our repentance, like we're repenting and we feel like we're in a good period of time, and then we've left something that compromises that repentance, and we're back to where we started. That's why it's another reason why it's also very important to get rid of the possibilities, because then it just becomes like a cycle, and you can't break that cycle as long as the possibility of falling into sin is there, because we're weak. We're all very weak.
Any more questions?